So as we talk about Grace Life Church, you know, you could call it Grace Life Church Take Two, whatever you want to say. Today we're going to talk about service. And I was thinking about service, and the only thing that came to my mind was tennis. I don't know why I got stuck on tennis. How many tennis players do we have in here? Do we have plenty of tennis players? I got one-ish. Yeah. So for a brief stint, after I graduated high school, all my buddies seemed to play tennis. I don't know why. And so I thought, oh, well, let's go learn how to play tennis. Tennis, you know, when you watch tennis on TV, they make that look easy. I mean, I think tennis is even harder than golf. You think, well, look at all the advantages you have with tennis, right? You have this great big racket with the big old head on it. It's lightweight now. It's not like you're swinging the old wooden trees around. And, you know, you're hitting a ball that's this big. Even though it's moving, you're still hitting a ball that's, you know, this big. It should be easy to hit the ball across the net into the other court. You would think that, right? You know, but tennis is an extremely difficult sport. At least it is for me. I don't know. Maybe it's not for some other people. But I want to tell you one of the hardest parts of tennis for me was, you know, there's some basic things you'd have to learn. You have to learn how to, you know, hit a forehand. You have to learn how to hit a backhand. You know, those weren't so hard for me. The hardest thing for me to do, and this is really important, because if you can't serve, you cannot play. You lose every single point, and that is not good, right? And so in order to serve, you know, you have to stand outside on the backside of the court on the out-of-bounds line, and you have to serve it across to the other side, depending on which side you're standing on. And the idea is to hit it, the net naturally slopes just a little bit in the middle, and then the idea is to hit it about that high over the net, right? Otherwise, guess what happens? If you don't hit it in that box, it goes long. If you hit it too short, you hit the net, right? Serving for tennis, for me, is one of the hardest things to do in that sport. And I got to thinking about that, and I thought, is there any correlation between a tennis serve and serving in the church? And I thought to think about that for a little bit. You know, I don't know, but, you know, what I was thinking is, you know, sometimes it's difficult to serve. You ever thought about that? Sometimes it is difficult to serve. And I think the reason it's difficult, sometimes we lack the motivation to serve. I mean, we lack the why. Why should I even worry about serving? Sometimes we lack, just like me and my tennis serve, we lack the technical skills to know what to do and how to do it, or even when to do it. And so I was thinking about that, and I thought, you know what? Let's look at the scriptures, see what it means in the scriptures to serve, and why it's important for Grace Life Church to be we want to be a body of believers who's known for their serving, right? I mean, that's a big part of church, isn't it? That's a big part of the what we would call the body of Christ. In fact, every time you see the body of Christ mentioned in scriptures, it's normally in a passage where it's talking about service and spiritual gifts. So the first question we had to ask, or I had to ask myself, is the why. Why is it that the church should serve? Why should we even worry about this idea. Because, I mean, really, what do we do? I think there's a lot of people who get caught up in church in just for Sunday morning, right? What do we do? We come and we listen to music, we sing along with music, we listen to preaching. It may help us change, and then we go home, right? There's a little more to being a body of believers, a family, than just let's all come together, sit, listen, go home, right? Yeah. And when we look at this, we want to answer the question, why? So, first of all, one of the best things for me to do is to think about how it relates us back to who God is, right? Who is God? What does he do? What has he done for us? So the first thing we want to do is look in Romans chapter 8. Verse 29 in Romans chapter 8. Well, let's step back to 28. Everybody knows Romans 8, 28, right? We've heard this verse before. It says, "We know that all that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose, for those," let's see. I think I missed something. Oh, sorry, nope. Called according to his purpose, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his, what is that next word? Son. Right? When we look at serving, when we look at what Jesus, God's purposes for us are, and as we're going to go through the scripture, we're going to find that serving is huge. It's all over the place. What it does is it conforms us to his image. Wait a minute, weren't we already created in God's image? We've already been created to be like God, Genesis says. We had a sermon on that a couple of weeks ago in a different context. So how is it that God wants to make us into this image of his son? Well, there's a part of that. What Jesus did, what God deems is important for us to do with that image. This is what service is all about. Think about what Jesus did. He said, I have come to what? Serve and give his life a ransom for many. Jesus' purpose in being here was to show us how to serve each other. Now, what was in the mind of Christ? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself into the form of a servant. Isn't that interesting? One of God's goals for us, why should we serve? Because it's God's purpose for us. He has made us to do stuff, right? Serving is even then commanded. Turn over with me to Luke chapter 4. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Chapter 4, verse 8. And Jesus answered him, Satan, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Doesn't that look like a command to you? When we serve each other, it's a command. 1 Peter chapter 4, we can stay here for a little bit. Flip back over to 1 Peter chapter 4. We've got several passages to go through today. 1 Peter chapter 4, starting in verse 10. And each has received a gift. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. So, we're commanded to do it. Not only that, are we commanded to do it through, did God tell us to do it? But do you remember, and it's fitting that we're doing communion. Do you remember when Jesus, they were going up to the upper room, and Jesus walked by, grabbed a basin of water, and wrapped a towel around himself? Do you remember what he did then? He washed the feet of his disciples. And they thought that that was crazy. That shouldn't happen, right? Why is washing somebody's feet crazy? I'm sorry. It's something a servant would do. Okay, number one, it's something a servant does. It takes humility, absolutely. It's yucky. Thank you, Ginger. Thank you. I really appreciate that. I thought I was going to have to get my shoe off. Everybody's like, no, 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 we don't want that. No, when you walk around in a dusty, dry climate, your feet get dirty very quickly. And so Jesus, when he was teaching the disciples what he wanted them to carry on, think about this. It was Jesus last week. He wanted them to carry something on. And he made this great, big, huge word picture. This great, big, huge illustration. He acted it out right in front of them. Jesus did this. He washed their feet. And he said, this is how I want you to serve. So, when we talk about the church, if the disciples are the building blocks of the church, the foundation of the church, the apostles, how important should our serving be? Where should that fall on the line of our priorities? God commands it. Jesus demonstrated it. It makes us more like Christ. Where should that fall in our priority? You think it should fall at the lower end of our priority line, or should it fall on the upper end of our priority line? I got some people like, I don't want to say anything. It's okay. It should be higher on our spiritual priority line. We want to do things for God. And the question then becomes, okay, how do we do that? How is it that we've served? Well, first of all, back in this 1 Peter passage, I'm going to read from verse 7 and through the end of that paragraph. It says, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled, sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's very grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks the oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him belong glory and dominion forever. This is Peter's final charge in this paragraph here. What does he say? Okay, he says the end of all things is at hand. What do you think that means? The end of all things is at hand. It means that time is running short. Therefore, Peter says, this is what I want you to do. These are the things that I want you to concentrate on as you be, for lack of a better grammar, as you be the church, okay? as you become the church, as you do what the church is supposed to do. So Grace Life, as we think about what God wants the church to be and what we want to be, let's think about this idea of service here. Okay? He says, therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly. Love one another earnestly. Do you think that Peter here is just talking about warm fuzzies? I mean, that's what it could be, right? Love. But love to God, love to, in the New Testament scriptures, is less about the feeling and more about the action. Love one another earnestly. All right, how many of you, we have, how many walking dictionaries do we have? What does it mean to love earnestly? Seriously, sincerely, fervently, intensely, intentionally. Those are all great words. And they all will make up this idea. We need to love each other. What's the word? I lost the word. Earnestly, thank you. It's like I had all these other words. Now I can't think of the one that was the one that's written, right? He says, love one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. When we look at that phrase, love covers a multitude of sins, and we think of service, and we think of the action that it takes to love, what does it mean then, because love covers a multitude of sins? What does that mean for us? Love covers a multitude of sins. Does it mean that we're serving and loving people who may not even inherently deserve it beyond their being created in the image of God? Absolutely it does. Does it mean that we might have to deal with some things that we don't want to deal with if we're going to love them? Yeah. We live in a world that is messed up. And in order to be the church to other people, we're going to have to get into their lives. Love them earnestly, because love covers a multitude of sins. He says, then show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Why is it that Peter says here, show hospitality, which is a form of serving, right? Right? But it says without grumbling. What do you think that is? We're a very quiet bunch today. Why is it? Why is it that hospitality should be done without grumbling? It's a lot of work. Some people are naturally just geared toward hospitality. That's it. And it's not so much work for them. I can think of several people right now that it's easy. But for the rest of us, when hospitality isn't quite as easy, it's really simple to fall into a trap of, now I got to have this person over, and it's not going to be fun getting ready, and this is going to take way too much time, and all that kind of good stuff, right? He says, show hospitality without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's great varied grace. All right? What does it mean to have a gift given to you by God? What's he talking about here? What's Peter saying? You have a spiritual gift. There's something that God has done for you, given you, that you get to use for other people, right? Now see, this is where a lot of people get really concerned. Maybe you already know what it is. What is that gift that God has given you to use in behalf of someone else? Do you know what that is? Maybe people who know for sure what their gift is to use for other people, you can raise your hand. Steve, you really have. Sarcasm is not a spiritual gift. I'm joking. All right. Okay. Awesome. How many know for sure what that is? There's a few of us here. And it's not a problem if you don't know what it is. Okay? It doesn't make you any less Christian. It doesn't make you any less worthy. But God has given you a certain gift. We're going to talk about those in a minute. To use for the purpose of serving one another. That's what it says. Right? I mean, Peter's not lying. We know that the scripture is true. He says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's grace. Okay, so for example, he starts throwing in some gifts, not all gifts. Whoever speaks as one who speaks the oracles of God. So for those of you who have teaching ability, for those of you who can stand up and speak in front of a crowd, I know there's more people here that can do that. He says, speak as you're speaking the oracles of God. What do you think that means? Confident, yes, because you're speaking truth. Absolutely. What else does it mean? Desire, ability. There's a certain respect for what you're teaching. With love, absolutely. Absolutely. You're speaking the oracles of God. When Peter uses that phrase, oracles of God, he's not just speaking about reading words out of a text. He uses that phrase for a specific purpose. What is it? What is an oracle? Huh? Foretelling, okay? Something that God has spoken. It's God's words. Do you realize when we read the scripture, these are God's breathed out words to us? When we hear the scriptures, these are God's spoken words for us. Then he says, whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. What does this tell you about serving? Excuse me? Sorry. You need strength. That there's some serving that's difficult. That we get tired and we get worn out and we get busy and we need God to supply even the strength for the gift to serve. For this purpose, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Galatians 5:13 tells us to serve humbly in love. So real quick, let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another various kinds of tongues. To another interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by the one and the same Spirit who apportions each one individually as he wills. Now here in 1 Corinthians, we have several gifts, right? We don't see some of them, and some of them we do. But I don't think that this list is all-inclusive of all spiritual gifts. But the point is, what is Paul's point when he writes this? Did you see that? Think about Corinth. Think about the idea that we've been teaching through as we have gone through our study, what kind of a church Corinth was. It was a very gifted church. It was a very a worldly church in the sense that the people there were competitive and they had brought in the outside worldly competition. One somebody is better than another. They were trying to do some, establish a pecking order. You know, some people didn't want to be on the bottom, and some people were claiming their gifts were higher than others. But Paul here is telling everybody, hey, everyone's got a gift. One gift is not especially more valuable than another. But he says everyone has to use their gift for the purpose of building up the body of Christ. This is a collective thing, a fellowship thing. This is a for the place to serve. Some of the gifts here. The utterance of wisdom. Some of you have been given wisdom. What is wisdom? A skill for living. Good. How to use your knowledge. How to live your life. What is some of us have that gift, some of us don't have that gift. But it's important that those who have the gift of wisdom, I can think of several people in here who are very wise. And I really, really thank God for you. Because when you speak, people listen. When you speak, why are you smiling at me, Steve? I wasn't until you started smiling at me. When people who utter wisdom speak and people listen and they follow through with what somebody said, guess what happens? Life gets better because you've learned how to live that life. Some people have the utterance of knowledge. They know lots of things. It's important to know things. Another is the gift of faith. And it goes on and on. Then we can turn over to Romans chapter 12. I like the service talking about gifts, spiritual gifts, because it's easy to find. Romans and 1 Corinthians, and both in chapter 12. So if you want to study this further. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. He says this, I appeal to you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For, by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each one, to the measure of faith that God has assigned, for As in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, through many, are one body in Christ and have individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them, if prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Here is a list of some even different gifts, right? He says, having gifts according to the grace given to us, let us use them. Have you ever given something to somebody that they didn't use? Yeah. How do you feel after that? It's like, whoops. God gave us gifts, not just for the purpose of giving us gifts, right? It wasn't just for the purpose of, well, here you go, let me enrich your life by just giving you this ability. Because it does us no good if we take our ability and do nothing with it. He says, use your gifts. Isn't it funny that he had to say that? I find it curious that even in Romans, for the church at Rome, Paul had to say, use your gifts. If prophecy in proportion to your faith, service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. There are all kinds of gifts. There are all kinds of spiritual gifts. There's all kinds of things that God has wired us to do, given to us at the time when the Spirit entered into us. For us to use for serving one another. All right, so we've talked about the why. And we've talked about the how, right? So in tennis, you know, there are certain fundamental steps to serving a ball. You know, one, you've got to have your feet put in the right place. The other one, you got to throw it up in the right place. The next thing, you got to hit it with the right angle on the racket with the right speed in your arm. That's why it's so difficult. But when are we to use our gifts? Or you could probably even put this, where are we to use our gifts? Okay, the first easy question is everywhere, right? That's awesome. Because of the church universal, because there are more Christians out there than are what are here, we want to emphasize that serving is not limited to this body. However, when we think of the local church and we think of Grace Life Church, when and where should we be serving? How about when we gather? Here, absolutely. Okay? Now, I know we have small groups. That's a great thing, and we should be serving in our small groups. I know we have friends in this church that we meet with regularly, and we should meet with our friends, and we have Christian friends at work, and we should be serving there, all right? But when do we all meet together? On Sunday morning. That's when this family, this body of believers, comes together. This is when we have the greatest opportunity to use our gifts. Right? We need each one of us. You know how the 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12 talk about the body of Christ coming together? You can read on and study that for yourself. But the body has a certain purpose for certain things. And everyone is needed. I think sometimes we feel unfulfilled in our Christian walk, and sometimes it's because we miss out on serving. So, the question and the challenge is, what is my gift? Do I know it? If I don't know it, how do I find it? You ever ask that question? Maybe you don't know. If that's you and you don't know what your spiritual gift is, how do I find my spiritual gift? Number one, you should always pray about it. Because it's God who showed you and gave it to you in the first place. He's the one who can reveal to you the answers. But number two, how do I find my spiritual gift? Maybe it is that you should talk to somebody else to see, because sometimes we don't see ourselves. We walk around and wonder what our gifting is, and sometimes we just don't know. But other people can see it in us. So finding our spiritual gift starts with, number one, prayer, studying the scriptures in prayer, talking with other people about it, and if they don't know, maybe find somebody else to talk to. But here's another thing. How do I know what my spiritual gifting is?
Serving.
Ha! Thank you very much. Just get busy. We naturally gravitate toward what we enjoy or what God has gifted us to. Tell you a quick story. When I came back to the Lord and God started using me or doing things with me, one day I said, you know what, I'm going to go to church. And then the next week I said, you know what, I'm going to go to church again. And the next week I said, I'm going to go to church again. And all of a sudden I was a regular churchgoer. All of a sudden I started thinking, you know, there's got to be more than this. There's just coming to church. And at the time, the pastor asked me to fill a need. And I said, sure, I can do that. And you know what I started doing? I started teaching junior high Sunday school. And I took to it. And every time I take a test, you can also take quizzes online, although I don't know how they're always accurate, but you can take, like, they're like personality quizzes. What's my spiritual gift? You can take those. I just warn you to be careful, because they might not agree with the scriptures, but almost every time I've taken any time I talk to people, I know what my spiritual gift is. And God got me to work using it right away. I was teaching Sunday school within 3 months of starting back to church. It was interesting. And I found what God had called me, but I was getting busy. I was finding something to do. Now maybe teaching isn't for you. It's okay. Maybe you have something else that God has gifted you with. Maybe it's some sort of administration, or maybe it's some sort of mercy. I know there are lots of people here with gifts of mercy, and they love to go out and they love to help other people. But I promise you that there are people here who need you to use your gifts for them. And so I ask you again, what's your gift? If you don't know, find out. Work on figuring out. Number two, come and use it. Because that's who God created us to be, made in His image to show us who He is even more fully. Can you imagine that? resembling Christ as a group of people in our service. Now, I just hit on highlights of verses about serving. Just highlights. But when we look at what the church should be about, okay, we think of, you know, gathering together, fellowship and teaching and worship and discipleship and being together. You can take that list, that the mission vision statement that we have, what the church should be. Read through all that stuff. Look what we said. Where should service be? How do we prioritize those things? The answer is they're all extremely important. Serving is worship. When we fellowship, the purpose is not just to talk about the snowfall that came last night. When we fellowship, the purpose for fellowship is getting together and helping each other. And what better place and time is there during our week where we get together with a whole bunch of believers to talk about just that? And you might be thinking, you know what, Pastor, you're right. I'd like to serve. I'd like to do something. And I don't know what it is. But get me busy. We have need for people for the prayer team. You'd like to meet on the prayer team? You can talk to Steve and Sarah on the prayer team over there. They do that. Most every Sunday. Without fail, very faithful. It's awesome to have that kind of a ministry here. Maybe it is that you are a teacher. We have places to teach. Maybe it is that you have something else that you can do, that you would like to do. We have needs for helping with kids. We have need for help in all kinds of different areas to help this body reflect Christ even more and more, to make disciples. And everyone is needed, and it's imperative that we're all here, that we're all working together, that we're all sharing. God says, I gave you a gift, let's use it. Will you pray with me this morning? Jesus, as we think about what it means to serve this morning and being Grace Life Church, I pray that you would give us in our own minds concrete ways to serve, whether it's talking to people and giving mercy or encouraging people in hard times, help us to seek them out, whether it's praying or speaking of what you'll do in faith or teaching or exhortation or giving nuggets of wisdom or knowledge, whatever it happens to be. God, I pray that you would give us the passion so that we could serve zealous, faithfully, joyfully. And Lord, I just pray that you would convict us, place it on our hearts and our minds, and help us to start right away. In Jesus' name, amen.